Welcome to the latest Enterprise Times podcast. My name is Ian Murphy. My guest today is Venu Lambu, President and Executive Director of Mindtree. Today, we're talking about digital transformation and why it should be seen as a continuous process, not a single one-off event. Hello, Venu.
Hi, Ian. Great to be here. Thanks for inviting me. My role in Mindtree is responsible for creating the growth strategies and most importantly, focusing on our global customers across all the geographies that we operate in enabling their digital transformation. I've been in this industry for almost three decades. Started my career way back with a company called Digital Equipment Corporation, PDP 11s and Wax VMS. It's been an interesting journey from those days of client-server computing to talk about digital transformation today.
One of the things we've seen with the pandemic is it's provided the opportunity for many companies to start and even accelerate their digital transformation. But there is a concern that many are seeing this as a one-off process rather than a continuous improvement of how IT operates for the business. How do we begin to change that mentality?
Because of the fact that there were certain projects which were put on hold when the whole global economies went on a lockdown, that's why you see the spurt of projects coming into the mainstream execution now, which are essentially enabling digital across the value chain of the business. It might give a narrative of being a one-off project, but I do believe that the very fact that the digital or any technology related to the digital is pretty much core to the business. It's not just enabling the business, it is the business. But it is pretty much has a strategic role in redefining the business models, redefining the partnership models. You're redefining the way you consume technology across your business value chain. It can't be a one-off opportunity. It's something that will be done for the long term. Business have to be on a continued innovation cycle. As long as business continue to innovate, to remain competitive, to ahead of their competition, and to launch products faster, the digital programs will go for a long run. I do believe that digital is here to stay. It's a new normal. We just have to keep innovating and creating more contextual use cases for redefining the business models.
The idea of continuous change is something that concerns CIOs and CTOs in particular. They're looking for a point of stability where they know they've spent X amount of money and they're getting Y amount of result. Continuous change is that, and often they struggle with getting the right KPIs to see what the value is of the money they've spent. Are you seeing companies reassessing their KPIs, or are there a set of KPIs that you are using when you engage with your customers?
Yes, the KPIs are undergoing change. In the good old days of the traditional application development or any product development for that matter, you had KPIs which you could measure it over a longer period of time. Even the return on investments was measured fairly on the longer period of time. But I think these days, when you look at digital transformation, it happens in multiple sprints. When you look at the programs which are broken in terms of micro sprints, you need to have the KPI, which measures up to the deliverables that comes out from the short sprints. It's a philosophy of deliver the incremental results to reach the final goal. It's not one-off event that you measure a KPI at the end of 1 year or 2 years. You have KPIs which you measure for every release of functionality that happens if you're doing a product development or every milestone that you do in terms of the platform development for the redefining the business model and so on. I do believe that KPIs are undergoing change. Customers have already adopted new KPIs, and these KPIs are more aligned to the short-term results or the sprint-based results rather than one big monolithic program-based KPI.
That's a big change, isn't it? Traditionally, when we talked about core IT in an enterprise, it's been those big monolithic pieces of software, those monolithic transformations. That move to sprint, to short, continuous change, also requires a change in the way that the business engages with IT. Are you seeing a better relationship developing as companies go down the continuous transformation route?
I guess it varies from sectors to industry sectors. The pandemic has actually enabled a higher collaboration between the business and the technology teams. In some businesses, the technology is core to the business. If I go and talk to the retail customers, they're talking about omni-channel implementation. And when you're thinking of doing omni-channel, it's not a technology program. It's a business program where the technology is used. So business has to play its part of the program governance. They have a role in defining the story points. They have the role in defining the use cases. They have a role in defining the experience design aspects of the platform. I don't think there's much choice now. businesses and technology comes together, it's more than collaboration. It's about redefining the structures within the enterprises and how the technology coexists within the business team itself and not seen as two teams, especially when you're thinking of delivering programs like Omnichannel. If I take retail as example, there are many cases like that across different sectors as well. There is a need to foster collaboration. There is a need for joining at the hips kind of alignment. But I would also summarize it to give my perspective that I don't see this happening consistently across all sectors. There are some sectors which are forward already in that, and there are some still lagging, sort of still behind, and I would put them as digital laggards.
One of the things the pandemic has done is force everybody to take a closer look at cloud. One of the things that cloud brings to IT is instead of having hugely expensive CapEx programs to change hardware in order to build new transformations, companies are able to do this in much smaller projects at a much lower cost. How effective has that been for companies? Because moving to cloud isn't just a lift and shift. It requires an awful lot of thinking and planning.
If you look at the early days of cloud, most of the cloud programs were focused around migrating the workloads or migrating applications into the infrastructure environment of cloud. That's where you had a significant traction for lift and shift kind of business. There is still a lot of lift and shift of workloads that's happening onto the cloud. But if you look at cloud in an integrated proposition point of view, then cloud manifests in more than one form. That's why I call cloud as the biggest catalyst for the digital transformation. You have cloud in the form of data modernization. If you want to modernize your legacy data and bring it into a more unstructured and dynamic data, you need the speed and agility that cloud brings in the data modernization. Similarly, when you look at the application architecture, moving from the traditional monolithic architecture to microservices-based architecture, all the technology that the cloud native development tools brings in is another manifestation of cloud technology. The third one is the application modernization. While lift and shift does benefit in more than one way, but is a hidden value that is locked in what I call an application modernization. If you can actually push the envelope on the application modernization, you can unlock a significant value in an enterprise. And the cloud manifests in terms of how you make the legacy application modernized so that it can coexist with the new applications that are built in the digital economy. That's thereby it brings the agility, the flexibility, and most importantly, elasticity to be able to cater in the digital economy for the enterprises. Cloud is probably the biggest catalyst for digital transformation. Enterprises are adopting cloud from data application infrastructure and even to the connected operations like IoT and so on.
If we go back 3 years, part of that focus on moving to cloud was that cloud was an adjunct, an addition to the IT estate. What we've seen in the last 18 months is many more companies start to talk about becoming cloud first. If they've got a new project, can we build this on cloud? And that's come about as cloud itself has matured, but also because of the number of cloud services that we're starting to see. Are we at a mature enough point for all industries to start moving to cloud, or are there specific industries you see taking advantage given the current state of cloud services today and others that are still waiting to get the elements they need?
The time to ask question about why cloud is probably gone. It's behind us. The intensity of adoption may vary, but I don't think we are coming across customers who are asking why cloud. In fact, most of the questions is about how fast can we adopt cloud? How can we increase the adoption of cloud? How can we get cloud across the value chain in more an integrated proposition? These are the questions that the customer asks Mindtree to help with. The adoption is pretty much increased across all the sectors, so that's a great sign. The intensity and the depth in which the implementation is happening may vary, but I don't come across anybody asking why cloud. The benefits of cloud, especially if you look at it from an integrated set point of view, it is multifold. It is no more a technology nice thing to have. It is a competitive differentiation. If you can actually use cloud technologies, the good news is that most of the hyperscalers have actually increased their portfolio of services over a period of time. The depth of portfolio that the hyperscalers of Google, Microsoft, or Amazon have is probably one of the broadest portfolio that you can envisage. It is also churning out more and more products almost on a monthly and a quarterly basis. You have more choices now, more range of technologies that you can leverage. If any enterprise that's not really thinking of accelerating cloud adoption, in my view, they're losing an opportunity to convert that into a competitive differentiator for their business.
One of the services that we've seen a big take up on is automation. Organizations are starting to realize that automation isn't just about complex programs that automate vast number of functions. Simple automation can speed things up for employees and, more importantly, free them up to spend much more time working on value for the business. How do we increase the level of automation? Because automation also requires a level of talent and skill, something that companies are beginning to struggle with.
You're right, Ian. Automation requires the great leverage of skills and talent that you need to design and implement. There is also an element of change management that is needed in most of the enterprises to actually drive automation deep into the organization across different processes, whether it's a business process or IT process. You need a significant change management capability as well to deal with it. I would look at automation in two dimensions. There is a cost-saving dimension, which is an obvious one, that you eliminate certain efforts and automate it. It gives you a dollar savings. But I do believe that automation needs to be looked in the context of the strategic advantage it can bring for time to market. If you can shorten your product development lifecycle, if you shorten your provisioning time of the products that you're developed into production, shorten your response time to your customers, shorten your market outreach to your prospects, shorten your supply chain provisioning time, shorten your customer support cycle time using automation, you're actually elevating the differentiation that you can bring across the value chain of an organization. If you start thinking automation in the dimension of what differentiation that it can bring to an organization to make it stronger, differentiated, and more resilient, the benefits are much larger scale. Having said that, that's an area which requires a very strong change management capability to focus on. And that's really been the challenge for most of the organization to actually penetrate automation deep into the enterprises. I wouldn't say that there is one size fits all kind of an approach, but this is how I look at the opportunity as well as challenge, Ian.
One of the advantages of retraining your staff when we talk about automation is those staff are subject matter experts. The hardest thing to extract from people is that knowledge that they hold. If we can train those staff, if we can get companies to invest in those staff to teach them the skills required to automate functions, then there's an awful lot of benefit to be gained. Are you seeing enough effort from the training and the vendor industry to provide the relevant training courses for employers to put their staff on?
There is definitely an effort by the industry, whether the service providers or the platform vendors per se. But I do believe that a lot could be done, not just about training the employed staff, but it's also about training at the university level, increasing the availability of skill set of the graduates who are going to come out from the university. Post-pandemic, one big lever for most of the economies in the world to actually capitalize and make the best out of it is enhancing the digital skills of the graduates that are coming out into the job market. Any initiative that can accelerate will help the larger industry, irrespective of which sector it is. The training of existing staff is one dimension, Ian, but there's a larger challenge we have where the digital skill availability itself, whether it's in automation or in the other areas of cloud and data and so on, there is a significant shortage of skill sets. I do believe it throws up an opportunity for many countries across the globe, and more so in UK, if I may say, to actually enhance the skills availability across the country and help the businesses to grow digital fast and adopt automation too.
As continuous change takes hold of organizations, we have to be very aware of our processes. Historically, we've been very slow to optimize and change processes because once they were set, this was how the business functions. With digital transformation, we're seeing processes becoming much more dominant in an organization, but we're also seeing processes becoming much more fluid. Is there a need for organizations to revisit their traditional process mechanisms? And how do we be more effective at capturing processes and adapting as those processes change?
There's an interesting story about the process transformation. Few years back, we are talking about transforming the processes to make it more efficient and more effective, whether it was the processes at the back end and supply chain or the processes related to your customer engagement or the processes in between within the enterprises. Most of the process transformation that took place at the back of a large scale enterprise application implementations, even some of the native application development that happened, was focused on bringing standardization across global locations so that it becomes more efficient, effective, and so on. This process transformation programs usually used to take 2 years, 3 years. You start with finance systems, you start with HR, you start with supply chain, and so on. And once that was done, you declared victory, saying that, okay, now we transform the process. Unfortunately, or fortunately, now we don't have that luxury of doing the process transformation over multi-year. There is no one point to declare a victory. It requires a mindset change where you have to keep the customer in the middle and start designing your business processes in terms of what the new processes require to support the digital transformation. And on an ongoing basis, you continue to revisit those processes, but keep the customer at the center. That's exactly what we do when we talk about design thinking principles in Mindtree. We do workshops of creating the art of possibilities for different business process. When we do that, we actually keep the customer experience at the center and start mapping the rest of the business process towards that experiences, because that becomes your North Pole. And everything around that has to be thought through rather than looking at process transformation in isolation. That is a significant change from the earlier world of process transformation, which was driven by application platforms, which had the set of best practices as such, versus moving on to the dynamic process changes that is required to have a sustainable digital business models. You can only achieve that if you keep one thing constant, and that is customer experience at the center as a constant thing. If you can adopt that, and that's a big mindset change, that's a big change management activity. If you could do that, I think it's a manageable situation in terms of being flexible and being dynamic in your businesses.
One of the challenges of customer experience is data. We've built our enterprises over decades with data silos. Digital transformation is starting to bring that data together in a much more flexible way. But bringing it together in a more flexible way also requires that we think more about the security, the duplication, the cleanliness of our data. How much time are you seeing organizations, when they begin a digital transformation process, focus on data rather than just on programs or programming languages or training staff?
There are three elements here. One is, if I look at the digital transformation, there are programs where there's some quick wins that the customers are trying to achieve, which is, can you just change your front-end capabilities? Can you create a different experiences at the front-end so that we have a better way to manage our customers and fulfill their requests, whether it's a product or services? The second is, in order to make this a more scalable digital business model, what are the kind of data platforms that we need to build in the enterprises? What are the insights that this data platform should throw about? That is where I'm seeing significant investments by our customers across all the sectors, launching very large-scale programs and creating enterprise-wide data platforms, because the data resides in more than one place within an enterprise. So it's very important, not just about bringing the integration points for the different data lakes, but it's about creating more result-oriented insights or purpose-oriented insights. On top of it, that's where your analytic skills and your insight capabilities using AI and machine learning capabilities comes in handy to make it more relevant to the business context. That's where I would say that a lot of organizations are early stages of adoption, because we're dealing with much more complexity than just dealing with some front-end modernization. This is probably the most heavy lifting aspect in any digital transformation to do that. The third element to that is that the security, whether the security for the front end or security at the data, is non-negotiable. More so, you have to look at security in two forms. One is the act of self-defense. How can you make your security layers as strong as you can so that it acts as a line of defense for the enterprise assets? The second is, how do you make it as a very strong layer to counter some offensive attacks that happens in the enterprises? We have seen how some of the front-end assets have been hacked, and even some of the data platforms of some of the large enterprises also have been challenged a lot. The security needs to have the dimension of both the self-defense, which is create a resilience so that it becomes very difficult for somebody to challenge it. But having said that, if someone has challenged it, you have the mechanism to actually counter that and protect your assets. Both the data and the security aspect that I spoke about are probably the most heavy lifting job in the entire digital transformation.
That issue of security neatly brings us back to the challenge of cloud and hybrid environments. If we go back a few years, people were building hybrid and cloud was an adjunct. Now, because of the challenge security is bringing to them, the volume of data and the complexity of what they're dealing with, they are much more focused on cloud first. But what we're only just starting to see is much more trust in the security of cloud. For a while, people really thought they could do better on premises than they could in terms of trusting their cloud provider. How fast are you seeing your customers make that decision that we can trust the security of cloud? We don't need to be running hybrid environments that open up all sorts of risk for us.
I wouldn't really say that the hybrid environment is more riskier than on-premise or 100% on a cloud environment. The areas of weakness that anybody could challenge exist, whether it's in the cloud environment, in the on-premise environment, or even in the hybrid environment. The threat is fairly common. It's just that the degree of threat and the way you can respond to those threats changes in different environments. My view is that there are billions of dollars that has been invested by the hyperscalers to continue innovation on security, whether it's a data security or the environment security or the application security. There will be more innovations that will happen by these hyperscalers to protect their assets of cloud environments. If I have to bet on any scenario where my assets would be more secure, I would actually bet on cloud, because that's where the huge amount of research, development, innovation that's happening to make those environments more secure, that's where I bet hugely. But having said that, there are some businesses which needs to have a hybrid adoption because of regulatory reasons or maybe because of geopolitical reasons. So you might need to create a hybrid environment. And that's where having an architecture which can coexist with cloud is a very important thing. These days, most of the hyperscalers also have a solution to manage the hybrid environments. So whether you're doing hybrid or you're doing 100% in cloud, I would actually say bet more and more on the cloud aspect of it. Bet more and more on leveraging the security aspects that the hyperscalers can bring in. It can actually make the environments more secure.
And that brings us neatly to our closing part of this podcast, where I put people on the spot. It's been a while since we were in a room surrounded by people, but imagine you're now stood on stage at a conference and here's a room full of people here wanting to know where should they start with their digital transformation. What are the three key things they need to focus on to get their projects underway?
First, I would say get started. Digital programs need to be thought through in sprint-based model rather than one huge monolithic program, as I mentioned. Get started. Get your sprint started. Start running. Then you create more sprints as you go along, as long as your end vision of what your digital business model is going to look like. Once that model is defined, get started. Don't delay it, because there is a time advantage you can get by having digital transformation done successfully vis-a-vis your competition. There is a race to the goalpost, if I may say. Hence, it's very important that you get started, but run it in a sprint way. The second one is look for results in that sprint model. Even if you fail faster. Measuring the results in those sprints, so that have your KPIs, return on investments, your dollar spend, everything modeled around that, which is extremely important. The third is, look, the change management aspect. You're going to deal with a different velocity, both in terms of speed of execution, the deliverables, the results and measurements, and also the way the business changes with regard to the customers and supply chain and so on. The quantum of change that you have to deal with is so huge. Don't ignore change management aspect. The change management is pretty much the core to the digital transformation agenda. Drive it as a business program rather than just a pure technology program. These are the three points I would say, Ian, if I was on a platform.
I think the one thing I'm looking forward to is companies getting to that sprint stage. I think there are an awful lot of people who understand the words, but I think they're challenged in terms of their internal processes, their internal thinking to change how they see technology.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. That's the first challenge to crack for most of the businesses, and that's where the technology leaders have a role to play. They have to educate the business teams. It's not fair to assume that everybody in the business understands the implication of technology to do that. Rather than just being a provider of technology, the technology needs to start talking business language and sit next to the business and do the same conversation and talk in their language.
Indeed. Venu, thank you for talking with me this morning.
Thank you, Ian. It's great having this conversation, and thanks for inviting me.